Welcome to the Dodgers Prospects Podcast. I'm Casey Porter of Dodgers Daily, joined by Tim Rogers of Dodgers 2080, as I am each and every week. And to be honest with you guys, Tim, I'm going to bring you in here in a second, but we don't really have any one topic to talk about this week because it's been so crazy. There is absolutely so much to talk about. Why pin ourselves down to one? So, hey, we may float around, Tim. We may jump around.
Yeah.
Who knows? Whatever comes to our mind, it's going to be open mic for us. So, hey, welcome in.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, live without a net, right? Let's roll. This will be fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, I've been checking in. Hey, show me the shirt, first of all. Show me the shirt. Got to see the shirt.
Where is it at? There we go.
Oh, fantastic. Dodgers 2080. Okay, yeah. So really cool. Very proud of this team that we've built here. And if you follow Dodgers 2080, Dodgers Daily, I think, you know, you pretty much get all the prospects information that you could possibly want. And Tim, I know that you've been in spring training. You have gotten one video after the other. You've talked to several different guys. You've gotten to meet them. And a cool thing about the way we do things, it's not just coverage for fans. We like to, you know, get relationships and we like to promote these guys. So, Man, you had a great time with spring training, didn't you?
I really did. I got to be honest. It was definitely a highlight. Actually, one of the funnest weeks of my life, being out there with the players, getting to know those guys. I even talked to a certain Andrew Friedman briefly.
Oh, nice.
Just to introduce myself to him. And it was cool. Really nice guy. He's proud of his prospects. That's for sure. He's out there in the backfields watching. And the funny thing is the players know it when he's out there, which is pretty cool. Just, you know, rehashing the relationships from the last few years and then making new ones, meeting players that, you know, I mean, we're prospect nerds, but there's guys we hadn't heard of that I hadn't heard of, at least. You probably already have, but there was a lot of guys, you know, I was spending more time on doing some video, just recording players. I still really couldn't get the shot I want, which is, you know, from behind home plate.
Right.
But I was doing some side views and, you know, a few swings. There are some guys that are kind of making some waves. It's spring training. One of them was a guy that was, you know, the guy Dodgers kind of found him off the internet named Jake Pilarski. He's a guy that's getting up to over, you know, well over 100. You know, I Dalton Rushing was actually the guy that turned me on to him and said, this he's going to be throwing today. You make sure you keep your eye on him. There's another guy, and I think that I think someday he's going to be our closer, and his name is Ronaldo Yane, El Monstro Negro off of his Instagram. Throws 102. I didn't get any. I barely missed him. First day I got there, I woke up 3 a.m., got out there by, you know, 10:30, and I missed him just by a shot. I took a quick picture of him, and it wasn't even that good. I was having lens issues. Yeah. Dropping your camera is a bad thing.
That is a bad thing.
Yeah, and I did that last year, and it's starting to really start to impact my lens. So I've been struggling a little bit. But, you know, all in all, you know, the players, of course, we've talked about this over and over, the high quality character of these gentlemen.
The culture is real.
It is real. I know you've been doing interviews with coaches. I had a bunch of conversations with coaches, and they're very proud of what they're building and the player development.
Should be.
And they absolutely should be. And I got to be honest, I would think that for, you know, there was allegedly 185 guys out there, players only. I would think there was probably a coach or an instructor or a something, you know, for every
Charlie Huff or somebody like that.
Yeah.
Around every corner.
Or an analyst or something. There's like maybe one for every three or four players. It's amazing how big the staff is.
And it's even more than that in the off season when not everybody's in Arizona. I mean, it's almost one to one.
Oh yes, yeah. And that's how you build these things. That's why you're able to, just build these farm systems and draft low. And they've been drafting low. I mean, Dalton Rushing, 40th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
How many teams? About 29 teams are probably slapping themselves pretty hard about missing out on Dalton.
Yeah, and it's all about projection, you know, because they didn't catch his second to last year in college. And so the Dodgers are able to say, hey, look, what is this? Not necessarily what is this guy right this second, but what can we turn him into? They do the best at that.
Oh, absolutely. And I know we covered catchers, I'm going to say a couple months ago, at least yeah. now. Mm-hmm. And I got to meet some of them in person and see a little bit of them in action. And I don't know when the Venezuela, you know, train of catchers yeah. is ever stopping with nope. the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Cartaya, Galice, and Fernandez. And then you had Marco Hernandez last year. So.
Oh, now there's
Vladimir Chalo. Yeah.
Yeah. Chalo. They were on Lorenzo. I got to yeah. see him. So. Just to, you know, I'll be doing a little something. You know, I'm going to be doing some 10-minute videos on my channel just to cover some of these guys, and of course it'll bleed over to here for sure. But the thump out of that guy's bat, I mean, he's how do you say it? He's a baby face. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's about, you know, 15. Very, very happy-go-lucky guy. He gets up to the plate, switch hitter, and mm-hmm. there's thump there. You know, you just hear that nice extra Mike Trouty sound, mm-hmm. not comparing. And then Josue De Paula.
Mm-hmm.
Just be ready. The hype is going to be real. The guy's 6'3", 17 years old. The swing is beautiful. I'm not going to throw out the comparisons. They already are in my comments of his video, of his swing. Just... You know, and there's more. There's just so many more. I just put up a quick video of a guy from last year, Rancho, Yoel Ibarra. And mm-hmm. he's got that presence of a closer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just fantastic. So, you know, there's more. I just got to, you know, the 58-year-old brain has to remember some of these things.
Sure.
But as we talk, I'm sure I'll be going, hey, oh, yeah, that guy and that guy. And so what have you been up to? I mean, well, you've been up to a lot.
Yeah.
I saw some of your interview with Rob Hill, you know, and it's how appropriate that you were talking about, you know, the five starting pitching candidates. Mm-hmm. And as expected, someone goes down and gone. Tony yeah. Gonsolin sounds like will not be ready for opening day. But I know a few pitchers that are. That yep. will not be,
yep.
or that will be ready.
Yeah. Well, the first one I think that's in line to take that fifth spot, if there is a fifth spot available, is going to be Ryan Pepio. And I had a chance to talk to Pep here a couple weeks ago. Great dude. I know we've both had a chance to talk to him. I know Steven got a chance to talk to him as well. But, hey, some of the offseason adjustments that he's made have been fantastic. I explained to people last year, you know, when you're on that taxi squad and you're going back and forth, it's more difficult, and we've said it and some of the players have even said it a couple of times. You know, they're not complaining about it. Don't get me wrong. They're not whining, certainly. I mean, you're on a major league roster. You know, you'll walk to Los Angeles from Oklahoma City to do that, right?
Right.
Okay, so I don't mean this from a complaining or any kind of negative perspective. I just mean it from a realistic perspective that whenever you're sending guys back and forth, you know, thousands of miles, and then they don't know their roles, and then they're a starter one day, a reliever the next. It's very difficult. So the takeaway from that is zero. So it's like, okay, what do I take away from what kind of pitcher this guy is? Zero. That's what I've been trying to tell people about
yeah.
Pepio and a lot of Grove last year, in the sense that, okay, yeah, you know, what he brings into 2023 isn't necessarily what you saw from him at a major league level in 2022. What you're going to see from him is what you actually saw at the AAA level in 2022, because he's going to be comfortable. You're going to see the comfortable Ryan Pepio, and I think you're already seeing that. You know, I think he struck out 9 guys and walked one. And check this out: the one walk he had, guess who he walked?
Oh, I
Ryan Noda. Ryan yeah, Noda.
That's right. It was Ryan Noda.
He walked Ryan Noda, who led Double A in walks 2 years ago, led Triple A in walks last year. I've got a new puppy here. That's what you can see her in the screen right here. So she's going to want to be involved in this podcast. So a little pit bull girl. So I love her to death. Okay. So yeah, Ryan Noda's the one walk from Ryan Pepio. And let me keep going here a little bit about him. The adjustments he made last year, he had a hard time controlling his changeup because it had so much fade. You know, it was almost like a left-handed curveball. And when you're getting tumble and fade, you know, what he was doing was he was starting that thing down the middle of the plate, and then it would break out of the zone, and minor league hitters would swing at it, correct? Well, major league hitters have seen that before. They don't swing at it, so instead of getting a swing and miss, he was getting a ball. So what he went back to this year is instead of that fade, he has gone back to just straight tumble, and that's allowed him to access the zone with that pitch a lot better. Now, when he adds fade to it, if you'll notice, it's whenever he starts that on the glove side inside to a lefty, and then he hops it back over the plate for a strike. Does that make sense? He's not starting it down the middle and letting it tumble out of the zone anymore. That's number one. Number two, with the slider. Okay, he's listed as a three-pitch guy right now, fastball, change, and slider. But with a slider, if you'll notice, early in counts when he needs strikes, he makes the slider smaller, almost like just a horizontal cutter, which doesn't have as much movement. It's just to dump me in the zone, get ahead in the count pitch that he's going to be able to throw strikes better with. So his slider is smaller to get ahead in counts, and then whenever he gets ahead in the count, his slider gets bigger so he can get swing and miss with it. So List as a three-pitch guy, but definitely can shape the slider different to make it look like five different pitches. And he's accessing the zone better because of those adjustments and the body adjustments. You know, he needed to do work to his body. He did that, and he has got himself to where he can get his body in positions he couldn't get in last year to be able to access the zone. So I love, you know, the off-the-field adjustments, the off-season adjustments of Ryan Pepiot. And when you combine that with the fact that he's just simply going to be more comfortable this year, I'm really excited to see what's going to happen with him.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, it's so cool to see that and to see Grove having such no habla inglés, such success out there. And you know, even Gavin Stone in his brief outing and everything like that. I think they're in good shape. And Andre Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, he was really good too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And, you know, I don't have any insight. I've posted this on Twitter. I'm going to turn you up just a touch here, Tim. You were good early on.
Just kind of dropped a little. I accidentally hit something, and I figured.
Okay, I'm going to turn you up just a smidge. Okay, perfect. I have no inside information on this, but Andre Jackson, I did see him quite a bit in Tulsa and Oklahoma City. End of 2021, I talked to him, and he was throwing 91, 92, and I know he wasn't real happy with that. He even mentioned that in our interview. And so he entered 2022 last year and just really, really struggled. And I was worried about him, and he got put on the developmental list. And this is what I think happened. I don't like to pry into these things because it's none of my business. This is for Rob Hill and all the guys and the pitchers for them, not me, not for fans. All we as fans, you know, all we want is just to see the results, right? Okay, so here is just my hypothesis of what happened. Instead of chasing that velo, you know, like, hey, I want to be the guy that's throwing 97, 98, okay, when he was only throwing 91, 92 at the end of 2021. Okay, instead of doing that, I think he went back to just shaping everything around his changeup. Saying, hey, you know, my changeup is really good. So if I just throw my changeup for strikes and then I orbit everything around that changeup, my fastball at 93, 94, 95 will look a lot faster to hitters. Mm-hmm. And I think that philosophical change, I don't know that that's actually happened, but that's what I've seen. That's my opinion. I think that philosophical change has made all the difference in the world in Andre Jackson. He's totally confident. And here, Tim, I think you'll agree with this. I think the organization is ready to give him runway. I think they're ready to give him a chance. So I think the ball's in Andre Jackson's court.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, one of the things that's out there is we know that pitchers break. Let's look at the patterns of the guys that are healthy versus unhealthy. We already know in the starting rotation, Kershaw is going to miss time. We already know that. Gonsolin missed time last year. He's going to miss time, obviously, this year. Syndergaard's coming back. Dustin May is still coming back. So Syndergaard and May are kind of in that same Tommy John boat. And Julio, they're going to probably throw him a million innings if he is his last year to
get all their question before you go on. I posed this question the other day. Clayton Kershaw, 125 innings, over under.
Under.
Yeah, I'm there too.
I'm at around.
So you're between 100 and 125?
110 to 120.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. So, and you look at the guys that are healthy. I mean, Pepio's healthy. Groves healthy. Jackson's healthy. Stone, Miller, these guys are studs. I really am a fan of guys, pitchers especially, going out and posting every 5 or 6 days. Now, I do, and you probably have heard this a million times from me, I am a big fan of the six-man rotation these days. I'd love to see it for the first 3 months. However, I don't see that happening. I never asked Doc that question. I wish I would have. Maybe next time.
He wouldn't answer it.
I know. He'd answer it in his own way. Yeah. He's good at that stuff, that's for sure. He's way better at answering questions than I am at asking them, that's for sure. Oh, absolutely. But, you know, just to see that, you know, to see these horses ready to go, that's a really good sign, I think, for us. We pitchers are breaking all the time. You know, just so many guys that I talk to recovering from Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. The missing guy that I talked about briefly during our relievers, Mitchell Taranski. Mm-hmm. He was there and then mm-hmm. throwing again. So that was really good to see. He had Tommy John. Franklin De La Paz, another guy, Tommy John. They're all coming back. But all these guys, they're, you know, the guys we're talking about, the big five, I call them the big new five or something like that. They are all in good way, in a good way, in a health wise. Mm-hmm. Now, pitching will wear them down. They will suffer from injuries. But just to have that number, you can't go and say, hey, we're going to go trade two or three of these guys to go get, you know, some shortstop you don't need. You can't do that with these days. You have to have, in my opinion, 8 to 9 pitchers ready to pitch at the major league level at the starting rotation level. And I don't think it's just the Dodgers. I think it's every team. Sometimes you get lucky, and you have those seasons where, wow, we have 5 starters that are giving us 160 to 180 innings. But that's such a rarity now.
Mm-hmm. Especially the way the Dodgers do it, you know. I mean, I say that. It's kind of the opposite. They limit the amount of innings. They don't let pitchers go 3 times through the lineup, you know. So,
right.
I mean, if you go – they're going to let you go 2 times through the lineup. So, that's kind of another reason why I'm not as concerned. You know, people say Ryan Pepiot is not efficient enough. Well, he's only going to go 2 times through the lineup. So, I mean, if he's conditioned to throw 110, 125 pitches an outing, that's pretty easy to do 2 times through the lineup, even if you're not being efficient. The bottom line is – are you getting outs and are you giving up runs? And he didn't, and he hasn't since he's been a major leaguer. So a lot of times if you make a guy have to throw too many strikes, you know, one of the things that's made him so effective is that his stuff is just so wicked. That changeup is just so nasty. The fastball has such ride and run to it that if you make him a strike thrower, okay, to become more efficient, why? He's only going 2 times to the lineup, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you going to ask him to go 3 times to the lineup when sabermetrics would tell you that's absolutely not something that you should do unless your name's Tyler Anderson you're playing the Padres in the postseason.
Oh,
right?
Oh,
so,
oh, through the heart, Casey.
I can't.
Right,
I can't. I'm just,
my man.
I had to do it. Sorry.
I know. It's there.
But anyways,
man.
Yeah. So, I mean, the efficiency part of it nowadays with the sabermetrics is not as important to me because – on average, the Dodgers are only going to allow a guy to go through the lineup 2 times. And we saw, even if you're only at 70, 80 pitches and you're cruising, that's going to happen. So the key is, you know, it's not as much efficiency. It is getting outs and not giving up runs.
Right. And, you know, there will be guys that will get a chance at the third time of the order. But the way the Dodgers do it, you got to earn that.
Yeah.
So Kershaw will get that shot many times.
Yeah.
Julio will get that. You know, Julio is more like, well, will he go into the 7th inning? He's you know, as we
yeah.
do. But 6 innings, 1 run, usually a home run.
Yeah.
Usually a solo shot. And that's it. And all day. But I think this year with his free agency coming, whether he's going to leave, you know, as a Boris guy, I think he probably does leave. It would kill me. But I think the Dodgers are going to really push him to see, first of all, is he worth spending, you know, X amount of $1 million for X amount of years for a guy that can go only 6 innings and give up 1 run? Or can he be a true ace and go 7, 8 innings and really lock down a team? which I think Julio can do. I do think that's there. But I think they're going to test him on that. However, the rest of the guys, Syndergaard, I don't think he's going to be going, or maybe. I don't see either of those guys going past the second time through the order, at least for the until they're proven that they have their command back.
Or the sixth starter. The sixth starter specifically, if you go to the six-man rotation, would be one of the five rookies. That's specifically who I was talking to. I don't think they're going to let that role go past two times to the lineup, and if they do, it won't be on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and again, they have to prove it that they can do it, and it is they baby the arms, and there's back and forth on that. You see other teams kind of throw their guys out there and let them eat a little bit during during the season. I kind of wish the Dodgers would do that a little more. I think we've talked about that, and I think this is a great year to do it, though. You know, let. Mm-hmm. Whoever's going to be the fifth and or sixth, whatever, gosh, let him go. Let him stay in that spot. Give him the real runway, just like it looks like they're going to give Vargas, you know, at second base. Mm-hmm. Give these guys a real chance, and I think we're going to be really happy with what we see.
Yeah, Michael Grove looks good. I talked to him, and, you know, one thing that he was happy with last year is that he's able to, you know, he's always had that really big curveball, kind of that Clayton Kershaw-looking curveball.
Yeah.
And he has always done a great job controlling it. As big as it is, he controls it very well and throws it for a strike. And he has, you know, the 94, 95, 96, and he can touch, I think, 90, you know, I think he can hit a 7 every now and then. Mm-hmm. Okay, but so he would get ahead in the count with his fastball and dump a curveball, and it'd be like 1-2, 0-2. And they didn't have a pitch to put guys away with, especially, you know, right-handers. So I think what he's going to try to do is he's going to use that slider. He's modified his slider a little bit. You'll see that in his outings that he's pitching in, and he's going to try to use that slider as his put away pitch this year. And he's done a much better job at putting guys away this year. So I think he's going to try to put right handers away with that slider. He's going to put left handers away with that curveball, and then that gives him just another secondary pitch to get ahead in the count with, and then he can go to the other secondary pitch to put guys away with. So. Very excited about Michael Grove and some of the adjustments he made in the offseason as well.
Yeah, I am too. I always, you know, I like looking at all the lists, and Michael's always lower on the list. I'm like, you fools. This guy's going to be a pretty darn good major league pitcher. And so I'm a believer in him. I think that there's something it hasn't been seen because you've really gone into it. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been healthy, and he's really taken a long time to recover, and from Tommy John and everything. I mean, it's years really, if you look at it, of missed time where he's catching up. And now the talent, second round draft pick, let's not forget that, you know, the Dodgers picked him for a reason. And
not only second round draft pick, but he had not pitched in a year and a half when they drafted him.
Yeah,
he got hurt. He had the Tommy John the back half and had to miss the back half of his sophomore year, missed its entire junior year, so hadn't pitched a year and a half, and the Dodgers still drafted him the second round.
Yeah, and then they babied him like crazy. I mean, in 2019, it was, you know, 50 pitches, and it was a struggle, you know, and that's where, you know, a little bit of you just as a you know, someone watching these guys, it's rewarding just to watch them overcome a lot.
Mm-hmm. So Andre Jackson, Ryan Pepio, Michael Grove, all in the 40-man, they're going to get the first shot. I don't think there's any doubt about that. If there's that six-man rotation, somebody goes down, I think those are the first three that are going to get a shot. I think they're all three going to have to be ready. You know, I asked all three this question, and they're all ready. Whatever role it may be, you know, it may not be a starter. It may be coming in relief or whatever it may be. They are ready. Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone – okay, as great as they are not on the 40-man yet, and we know the Dodgers, you know, I mean, they have more transactions than any other organization in the league every single year, but
they do.
That's going to hold Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone back, in my opinion, as far as getting their chances above those other three. Would you agree?
Oh, totally agree. They're going to have to – they will have to just be dominating, you know, to get – to for them to jump over someone on the roster, that's for sure.
Yeah,
And that fair enough, right? I mean, that's good. It's good, and it's good to have, you know.
Definitely,
these guys. It's amazing. These guys, they root for each other like crazy.
They do.
but they're in competition. It's the unspoken thing, but I love to see how they root for each other, but we know they're competing and they want, you know, they want to succeed. And all these guys have that, like you say, the dog in them. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got that extra thing in them, and they're going to want it. And yep. I think I see all five of these guys somehow making contributions to the Dodgers in 2023. But, of mm-hmm. course, the first three guys on the roster will.
Oh, so I think you see all five of them getting MLB time.
By the end of the year, I do.
Okay, good.
Just because of the, you know, again, the injuries that'll happen. But, I mean, I see at least two of the three making the opening day roster, and mm-hmm. possibly three out of three.
I think Andre, Jackson, and Pepio would be, if there's only two, mm-hmm. I think it would be those two. Would you agree yep. with that?
Yeah. Yeah. And it would be, you know, Pepio in the fifth spot, like you talked about, mm-hmm. and Andre doing whatever they need.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
We're on the same page there, 100%.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, are you surprised that you haven't seen Bobby Miller on the big field yet?
No. just because the Dodgers have their ways, and yeah. the more you dig into it, the more you talk to these guys, the more you go, they just have their ways.
They do. They have a system.
Yeah, they do.
It works.
Yeah, and I don't think Nick Nastrini saw time either yeah. on the big league field. Kind of disappointing. I finally met him. I do want to, you know, talking about all these pitchers, and they have something in common. They're all right-handed. And there's more, like a Nick Nastrini, and there's just the system's full.
Up and right I know here, yeah, Emmett Sheehan and guys like that. Yeah.
Oh gosh, it's amazing. I even got to see Karros's son, Jared.
Jared.
Throw a little bit. Yeah. It's kind of he's a tall kid.
Yeah.
He didn't look anything like his daddy either.
Him and Campos, Chris Campos, are real good buddies. They pitched a lot in the offseason. Just got a chance to talk to Chris. Going to release that interview.
Oh,
probably
good.
Friday. Wonderful young man. He was a shortstop yeah. at St. Mary's. Played with Michael Hobbs, who, in my opinion, was the steal of the 2021 draft, going in the 10th round. He's the all-time saves leader at St. Mary's. So, good conversation with Chris Campos. And I know Chris mentioned that he and Jared, you know, they kind of picked each other's brains all the offseason, so they're good buddies.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know about that. Yeah, I met Chris at Rancho his first day there. And he
awesome dude, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and he, I go, oh, okay, great. He's, you know, shortstop, St. Mary's, all that. And, you know, the Gonzalez connection, mm-hmm. all the, just those commonalities you bring up that, you know, they're just as part of conversation. But, you know, with all these pitchers, I know people are going to go, well, and some of us would say, hey, you know, it's the whole play him or trade him. One thing I did want to say that I observed, and you can only do it when you it's spring training, when you get in the camera wells. Big leadership. Fan now of Miguel Rojas.
Yeah, been saying that ever since they got him. That was one of the things I wanted them to keep Justin Turner for. When they got Rojas, I was like, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah, there's more to it because he is a shortstop to the max in mm-hmm. terms of he's running the show.
Yeah.
That guy is truly the captain out there.
Mm-hmm.
He is all over the place, and you can hear his mouth. Mm-hmm. And that's it's like you sometimes hear the other guys, but I, you know, and I was in the camera last year a little bit. I never heard that type of chatter on that Dodger infield when, you know, other shortstops were out there or even other fielders. He keeps it going, and I started hearing more of Muncy once Miguel was out there. The guy is I think we're good at shortstop. Keep that gentleman healthy.
Yeah,
Chris Taylor will probably play 30 or 40 games out there too. But Rojas is a really important part.
Yep,
he is a true leader.
Super excited about him.
Oh man, I you just until you see it, you're like, oh okay now.
Yep.
Now I get it. It was like mm-hmm. when I saw Amaya, you know, when he was at Rancho and the way he got out on the field and just took over.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, good luck to Amaya. Hopefully everything's going well with him.
Spoke with his dad the other day, and he said he's settling in and getting comfortable and you know, just needs to – he's hitting the ball hard, just needs to find some holes.
Yeah. But yeah, Rojas is going to be a big acquisition for us. Very underrated, and that was one of the big things that stood out mm-hmm. for me. it's like, I think we're in really good hands. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about the bat. Shortstop to me, you know, the pitchers really value their shortstops out there. And if you want to get outs, having a guy like Miguel Rojas out there is only going to help the odds of getting an out even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing about Rojas is that he's going to be around better offensive players than he's ever been around before. So he's going to get better pitches than he has ever seen in his career. And, you know, there's kind of this perception that he's not a good offensive player because of what happened to him last year. Okay, but he's a career 260 hitter. He's a career 314 on-base guy. And if he can just hit his career averages, 250 to 260, get on base, 3 to 325, somewhere in there, okay, which he's going to do, in my opinion, because he's going to be around such great offensive players, he's going to get pitches to hit all year long. And he's that guy that, you know, hit a ground ball up the middle. He'll hit behind runners. He'll put the ball in play. The exact type of offensive game the Dodgers needed. I'm super excited about Miguel Rojas. You know, whenever they got rid of Turner, the two things they had to replace was his offense. Justin Turner's offense still, from a third base perspective, is really, really, really good. And then, you know, you had these young infielders at the time, Jacob Amaya and then Miguel Vargas and Michael Busch. My opinion, you needed JT to be that guy that could mentor those players. So, you know, they went and got JD Martinez to fill the offensive role. Mm-hmm. And then Miguel Rojas is taking that mentorship role. Rojas is making $5 million a year. JD Martinez is making $10 million. That's $15 million. And you would have paid JT $16 million. So it's like they paid the exact same amount. And they got two guys to fill the one role JT could have.
Yeah. And I like the way – I like the vibe I saw on the team.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, and we already have seen that, you know, the Miguels have been working out together in Florida. There's just a good mix there.
Yep.
Very excited about, I think, you know, 111 wins, I'm not going to even worry about that. What I'm worried about is doing more than one win.
Yeah.
And I think there needed to be some changes. Those changes are there, and I'm excited about it. And we haven't even talked about the man, James Outman.
James Outman, yeah, he's certainly taking advantage of his opportunities, isn't he?
Absolutely.
So I said it.
So proud of that guy, man.
I said it. I think on our last show, explain to me why is you know, and I'm not against this guy at all, but why is a David Peralta type? Why is that better? Why is that guy better to put out there than James Outman? I said that on the last show.
Yeah,
and my reasoning is, Peralta has like 12 postseason at bats. Okay, so he doesn't have any more experience than any rookie as far as being a postseason guy.
Yeah.
And what the Dodgers need to fix was the postseason issues. You know, mm-hmm. JD Martinez, good offensive player in the postseason, so makes total sense. So why is a 35-year-old better than a James Outman? I posed that question.
Yeah.
And I mean, somebody's going to have to explain that to me. Of course, we know the Dodgers love their veterans. You know, but, okay, bad dogs bite when they're pups, man. They just do. I mean, we've talked about this, Cody Bellinger and Will Smith and all these guys, when they were rookies, they played well. I mean, you know, that first 300-400 at-bats, when you don't have a book out on you, you're seeing a lot of pitches that you can hit, you know. So, James Outman, man, if he doesn't make the open – if he continues the way he's continuing, let's put that out there first, and he doesn't make – even the 26-man roster.
That'd be tough. If is the word. Let's make sure, you know, the slugger, David Peralta, in last night's WBC game, let's not forget that, and the slugger, Trace Thompson.
Yeah.
For Great Britain. So Dodger outfielders representing well. You know what? James is going to earn this one. I know that Jason Hayward, it sounds like, is a lock to make the team. Fine. Mm-hmm. And
he's going to get every chance to be an everyday starter.
He's looked pretty darn good. Yeah. So I see some, you know, I've heard, and I don't know if you saw this, you know, Doc talked about Mookie playing 40 games at second base. Mm-hmm. Well, if Mookie's playing 40 games at second base, that Jason Hayward used to be a pretty darn good right fielder. So maybe he plays 40 games there. You know, maybe Vargas plays some at third, or they rest JD Martinez. I think we're going to see a lot of movement with some of those players. I'd prefer not to move Miggy. I'd like to leave Vargas at second base and just go let him eat and let him learn. I mean, he's at second. Mm-hmm. I think we've all
especially
been
next to Miguel Rojas.
Yeah, but I mean, Vargas looked really good at second base.
Well, when you got Rojas to your right and Freeman to your left, man, you can't ask for a better situation to incorporate a guy.
Yeah, Gold Glove caliber guys. Mm-hmm. And it's that there's a difference. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it briefly. Trey Turner to me was one of the biggest disappointments defensively. I thought for some reason he was going to be a lot better than Corey Seager, and he was about the same. Mm-hmm. Even though he's a better athlete and all that good stuff, he didn't. His arm was weak, and he got just his defense wasn't what I expected. Rojas is legit. Mm-hmm. Legit Gold Glove caliber guy. Freeman's a Gold Glove caliber guy. Vargas isn't, and we've talked about it, is an excellent athlete. Mm-hmm. He's not just average. Yeah. He's fast.
Yeah,
he is fast, and he's made it. He's kept himself. You know, his body's turning out as he grows up in his manliness. He's not a big guy. Yeah. He's a tall man. But he's not big, you know. He doesn't have that big Jock Peterson lower half or anything like that. Right. Takes away your speed, and a few donuts, of course, took away Jock's speed. But Vargas, you know, looks like he's an athlete out there, and he's one of the faster guys on the Dodgers, and he's adapting to second. And I think, having watched Miguel at third a bit, I think not having to deal with those reaction plays so much.
Yeah.
I think he probably likes that. He would never probably admit to that, but I think he would like that. Mm-hmm. And so I
got about 30 seconds. What would your starting lineup be if it started tomorrow?
Outman in center.
Okay.
Betts. I'll go Peralta in left.
Okay.
With the platoon with Taylor. Okay. Muncy. Rojas, Vargas, Freeman, and Will Smith with Martinez as the DH.
Yeah. I could see that. I think Jason Hayward is going to be in the lineup somewhere. Yeah. So I think there's going to be some kind of platoon somewhere that's going to get him in the lineup as well. So I think we're all pretty much on the same page there. Hey, Tim, again, about to sign off here. I know it's very busy and not enough time to get the final thoughts here, but what are your final thoughts?
I'm excited about this 2023 season.
Yep.
The prospects are overflowing.
Yep.
Watch both of our channels. We're going to have a lot of content coming out, sometimes you might even see some duplicates between the two of us, but we each have different takes, and it's all good. And please just keep watching. We appreciate you guys taking a look at what we do.
Fans, if you like this kind of content, go ahead and click that like button, leave a comment, tell all your friends about the Dodgers Prospects Podcast. Turn on that notification button as well so we can keep growing this podcast and Tim and I can keep providing you this show in the future. As always, thanks for tuning in, and go Dodgers!